Kof Vov Tishrei, Monday the 16th of October, Rabbi Moshe Akiva Brandeis, Noach Sterech in Avodas Hashem.
Couple of questions I'd like to ponder. First one being, could a golem, which is a man created by human hands, be part of a minion?
We have many golems.
Could he be a minion for Kedusha, Kaddish, Shemina Esra? Could he be part of a minion? The other thing I'm wondering about is Noach. What was he? The Torah tells us that he was a tzaddik, he was righteous, tomim, perfect. On the other hand, we see that Rashi tells us there's two ways of understanding b'dayroisov, either l'shvach, either it's a praise, or l'gnai. It's not quite a praise for Noach, that it was only in his generation he was considered righteous. So what was Noach? Later we find his k'tanei emunah. He didn't quite have the full emunah, the full belief, the full knowledge of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Torah on the one hand testifies Noach's tzidkus, his tmimus. On the other hand, we have two opinions of whether the Deirosa means it's only in his generation as opposed to in a different generation. In Avram Avinu's Dor, he would have been considered nothing. So who was Noach? And thirdly, Noach builds a teva. And Rashi tells us there's many ways that Hashem could have saved him. There are those who believe that Eretz Yisrael, there are those who hold Eretz Yisrael did not get affected, was not affected by the Mabel, it was not flooded at all. So why couldn't Noach stay in Eretz Yisrael? So why did Noach build a teva? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to. Rashi asks this question. Hashem has many ways of saving Noach. Of course, that's why Noach built the teva. But on the other hand, was there no other way? Was there no more simple solution? So Rashi already tells us on that. It was so that the people should see him building the teva. I'd like to go on a roundabout route, and hopefully, as we go along, we'll come face to face with the answers to these questions. So we start with the golem. Now, the Gemara tells us of a golem that Rava created. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Samachayim at base. Rava bara gavra. Rava created a man. He used, says Rashi, Sefi Yitzira, the Shemus, with which, I don't understand this, but he says, with which the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam created people. So he used Shemos HaKadoshim, of course it's not Kishuv, the Rishonim are quick to say. This is Tzadikim who are on the level of understanding how creation came about. And therefore they used the Shemos, Tzirufi Shemos of Sefi Yitzir, and they created a man. So Robert creates a man, he sends him off to his friend Reb Zeira without warning him in advance. So this man goes walking to Reb Zeira's house, he gets a visitor. What do you do when a visitor comes? You say hello. So Reb Zeira greets him, and he gets no response. A golem doesn't speak. Although he can act and look and be formed as a total human being, a man cannot give speech to a golem. Possibly because of last week's parasha, we know that Hashem has to put the power of speech into humankind. And therefore that no man can reach. That level no man can reach. And therefore you have this man walking along, meets Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira opens the door, starts talking to him, the man doesn't respond. There's no response from this man. Says the Gemara, Reb Zeira says, you must be made by the Chevra, you must be made by one of my friends who know how to do this, and therefore you're not a human being. Shuv la'africh. Go back to where you came from. And Reb Zeira had a little pile of soil in his garden that morning. A little bit of extra soil. Turned back into the soil, the earth that he came from. That's the story of the Gemara. The Gemara continues with the Igla Tilsa, other things that the Amiroim created using Shemus, Tzurufi Shemus. Now the Chacham Tzvi says, Nistapakti. in Tshuva Tzadik Gimel of Tshuva's Chacham Tzvi, the Chacham Tzvi says, I'm wondering whether these Goyalomim can be mitzdarif to a minyan, whether they can be part of a minyan for Kaddish or Kedusha. And says the Chacham Tzvi, he brings out Gemara, at Rava Bara Gavra, and he says, and furthermore, he says, Rebbe Eliyahu of Chel, and I don't think he means this as a joke, he says, Rebbe Eliyahu of Chel, also we know, he says, he's heard Shamati of more recent times, that he also created this human form, this man. He says, so perhaps it's relevant. I haven't known one myself, but Rebbe Eliyahu of Chel apparently also created this golem, and the Chacham Tzvi says, can you be part of a minion? Says the Chacham Tzvi in his first tzad, in his first way of thinking, the Chacham Tzvi says, perhaps he should be like a Yisro. Why? Because the Gemara says also in Sanhedrin, Yotesam Adbeis, Hamagadil Yosem Bebeisem, Ma'ala Olav HaKosov, Ki'ilu Yoldeh. And in his original thinking, the Chacham Tzvi says, since the Torah considers somebody who fosters a child, somebody who brings up a child that's not his, not biologically his, in his own home, and the psukim are brought as riots there in the Gemara, that a foster child, an adopted child, is as if it's biologically yours. Therefore, he says, so too the maisim of a tzaddik should be as if it's his children, should be totally same. Masim of a tzaddik should be totally same. Perhaps we should say that the creation, since Rava, in that case, created this form, it should be as if it's his child. And therefore it should be considered a Yisrael, and it should count as a minion. In other words, it would come out to be that this Goylem would have a higher standing than a Ben Noach, than a Goy. Since a Goylem, in this Tzad of the Chacham Tzvi, would count as a minion. So since it would be created by Rava, or any other Tzadik, it would be considered a Yisrael, and thereby count as a minion. Interestingly, the Mishneh Berurah in Siman Nun Hei, Sifkaton Dalet, the Mechaber there is in Hilchos Tefillah, and the Mechaber is talking about the fact that you need a minion for Baruch Hu. You must have 10 people for Baruch Hu, for Kedusha, for Kaddish. You shouldn't do any of these parts of Tefillah without Asara, without having 10 people over by Mitzvah. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkaton Dalet, an amazing thing. He says, what about a golem? Now, it's not something you'd expect from Mishneh Berurah. He said, what about a bria which was created by human beings? Mishneh Berurah. He says, could this count as a minion? This is after telling us the Pri Chodosh, who says that a cotton should chas v'sholom count as a minion. It's a big mistake that people count someone under bar mitzvah as part of a minion. And he continues and says, what about a golem? What about this bria, this yitzur created by man? Could it count as a minion? And he just says, Ayin Chacham Tzvi Simen or Tshuva Tzadik Gimel. The Chacham Tzvi we've quoted.
Does one not have to be able to speak?
He doesn't discuss that at all. Why should you have to speak? The idea is that you have 10 vinik. The Makor is vinik dashti v'soich b'nei Yisrael. That the Rebbeinu Shem is niskadish amongst Klal Yisrael. As long as you have 10 of Klal Yisrael. So, as long as you have 10 who are considered Yisrael. The question here is whether this creation would be considered a Yisrael. Yes. Sorry. Have no preferences. Exactly. I think Simcha's trying to say, a dumb person can obviously be part of a minion, as long as he's not deaf and dumb. But I think Reb Simcha's trying to say, since he cannot, he has no koyach of speech bechlal, it's not like he can't bring it out. He doesn't have the power of speech at all.
Can a golem do anything more than he's told to do?
Sorry?
Can a golem do anything more than he's told to do?
I haven't met one.
Has he got bismillah?
That's a good question. What is the gender of the golem?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a woman.
No, perhaps it's whatever's created. What's the definition? The definition is it's a tzura. So however it was created, as a man or a woman, that's what it will be. But anyway, we'll see as we come to the conclusion that it won't be so relevant. So, The Chazanish in Yerodea Kuftes Zayin, Sifkaton Aleph, writes that Nira Yerali, it seems to me that this Golem does not have the definition of a Yid, and not even of a human being at all. And back to the Chacham Tzvi, he brings his second sat, his second way of thinking, which is v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. You've got to be a ben Yisrael. You have to be a yid. And he wants to say that it's very difficult to define this goylim, this creation, as a yid. And therefore he concludes with his raya from the very Gemara itself, the story we started with, which is that the Zera turned around to this creation and said, Shuv la'africh. He says, even if all this goylim could do is to be part of a minyan, it's hard to believe that Reb Zera would just say, Shuv la'africh, it's bel tashchis. You're getting rid of something quite worthwhile to have in this world. No, when you need a minyan, you have a tenth man. So he says, it's cannot be, sorry? Oh, so he says, therefore, to rise, exactly. Thank you. So since Reb Zera says to the goylem, to this creation, he says, Shuv la'africh, we have no need for you. Apparently, there's no need for him. So he got rid of his visitor and says, Shuv la'africh. And the Chacham Tzvi says it's a raya from there that he has no purpose. And therefore, the Chacham Tzvi concludes with saying that he's not only not a yid, he can't be part of a minyan. Since Reb Zera, so to speak, killed him and didn't consider it Shvichas Domim, now he continues on this and he says, you might tell me that Shvichas Domim is not relevant in this case, since the Pasuk says, Dam Odom Be'odom, and the Chacham Tzvi says that's man within man, meaning to say, the child of a mother, biologically coming from another human being, rather than something created from the earth. She says, perhaps you would argue and say that a goyim doesn't have Shvichas Domim, but he concludes, like we said before, even if there's no Shvichas Domim in the case of this creation, because he's not the child of a human, there, nevertheless, since Reb Zera gets rid of him and doesn't care about any tachlis of this goylem, he doesn't seem to be worrying about getting rid of someone who could be part of a minion. He obviously cannot be part of a minion. And therefore, he says he obviously has no tachlis in this world. And if that's the case, we can conclude, says the Chacham Tzvi, with saying that he's not only not a yid, he's also not human. Not even a ben noyach.
Can I just say, sorry, when the Vilna Gaon made a golem, he went on tasks. He didn't just make up a minion. He used him for doing all sorts of security, you know, tasks and things. So that one, you know, it's about tashkis, because he can do other things, not just make a minion. There's other things you can use him for.
Sorry?
Put it the other way. Rova must have had some purpose in creating it.
What tachlis was there to this goyim that Rava created?
Yeah.
He says, I can only say over what the Chacham Tzvi says, which is that he has no ruchnias digger tachlis.
He's an neshama, is he? He's not need to have an neshama.
Sorry? He doesn't have an neshama, that's for sure.
He does not need to have an neshama.
To live?
That's a human being. Isn't it a prerequisite of a human being to have an neshama?
But then we're going into ruach, chayal, neshama. That's have to get over this roof for that. Sorry?
The golem hasn't lost.
Does not have, right. So we're saying now that he's actually, we had two stardom, either he's more than a ben noach or he's less than a ben noach. We're now concluding we're saying he's less than a ben noach. Which brings us to a ben noach himself. So if the golem, we have two stardom, we have the higher than ben noach, lower than ben noach, and we concluded that he's not even considered a human being, and therefore Abzeir had no problem getting rid of him. The ben noach, we know it's not a yid, it's not Klal Yisrael, it comes after Matan Torah. However, the Ovos kept the Torah. They didn't have to, they weren't Mitzvah, but they kept the Torah, as we know. We can assume that Noach also did. Rashi tells us later, when the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him to choose the behemoths, which are Torah, and the behemoths are Einenot Torah, seven of these, two of those, Rashi asks the question, how did Noach know which ones are kosher and which ones are not? How do you know which ones to take seven of and which ones two? Ela mikan, that Noach learned Torah. From here we learn that Noach must have learned Torah. I believe we can safely assume that if he learned Torah, he kept Torah. He doesn't just learn it as something for intellectual stimulation. I think we can safely assume that if Noach studied Torah, he learned Torah, he also engaged in its commandments. He was a Navi. He reached very high levels. Reb Benjamin spoke to him. The Pasuk made Tzadik Tomim on Noach.
So who was this Noach? Tzadik Tomim, learning Torah, keeping Torah, Novi, and then we have the Deirosov, the Shvach, Lignai. The Deirosov doesn't mean only in his generation he was a Tzadik. Had he been Avraham's generation, he'd be a nothing. Or does it mean no, but Deirosov, he was the greatest man of his generation. Miktani Amunah, he's standing there when the Mabel starts raining, starts flooding. He doesn't go into the Teva. His Amunah is not perfect. Who is Noach? But before we discuss Noach's personality or his level, how did people like Noach and the others keep the Torah? We know that a goy sheshovas chayv misa. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chesamid base. The Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Yim v'layla lo yishpoisu, that a ben Noach who keeps Shabbos is chayv misa. And if that's the case, how did they keep the whole Torah? How did they keep the Torah without keeping Shabbos? There's three mahalchim on this. How Noach might have got away with this. One is the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is in Shabbos, Pizayin, or Medalat. The Chassam Sofer suggests, since for a non-Yid, the night follows the day, whereas for Yidin, the night precedes the day, therefore, when a goy keeps Shabbos, in reality, he's not keeping his Shabbos. He's keeping the Jewish Sabbath. Because he starts on Friday night, followed by Shabbos day. When he starts doing melacha after Nacht, he makes Havdalah, he starts doing Nacht, he starts doing melacha, he has now transgressed his Shabbos, since his Shabbos continues into the night.
But how do we know he starts at the night?
For a goy, the night always follows the day.
No, how do we know he didn't start at Shabbos on the day?
But when he's keeping the Shabbos of the Torah, he keeps it as a Yid. So therefore he keeps the Shabbos, started with Friday night, followed by Shabbos day. Says the Chassam Sofer, when he keeps the Yiddish Shabbos, on the tzad of the Yid, he's kept Shabbos. On the tzad that he's a goy, he's been mechal Shabbos. Because his Shabbos was on the Yiddish and Motzah Shabbos. The Maram Shik offers two other suggestions. The Maram Shik can be found in Sanhedrin and Chesam at base. The Maram Shik says one also b'shem the Chassam Sofer, b'shem Goan Echad. Says the Maram Shik, says as follows. If they were wondering whether they were a Yid or a Goy, they could wear tzitzis. For a Yid, you're not carrying, it's not a masa. It's your beged, you're wearing clothing. However, for the Goy to wear tzitzis, it's a masa. Well, what are these strings doing at the end of your four-cornered beged? It's extra cloth. So therefore you'd be mechalal Shabbos. Yeah. Sorry?
Obviously there was no Eruv.
Apparently they walked out of the perimeters. Oh. I'm sure they were Misakin Eruvin, Shlema Melech, they were Misakin Eruvin. Oh. Yeah, even the Takonas that came later, yeah? Wouldn't be schwer to believe that. The third suggestion is by the Maram Shuk. He writes, the sugyas of shlichas can be found in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. Shlichas is that if I send somebody to do something for me, for example, to mikdash an isha, to give a get, yibum, I can send somebody on my behalf and it's as if I did that action. Shliach shel adam kumoisa. It's literally as if I did the action. She's now mikdashes to me, as long as he says the right nusach. Hariat mikdashes to so and so. Person who he is sent for becomes mekudesh to that isha. However, there's no shlichus for a goy. Says the Maram Shik, there's goynus. He says the ben Noach can send a shliach to do malacha on Shabbos. Now, everybody asked the question: ain't shlichus la'akum? So therefore, what does it have to do with the person who sent him to do the ain't shliach va'avera? Says the Maram Shik, it's like this. He brings the Magen Avraham, who says that a goy, sending another goy, has shlichus. It's just when you combine a Yid and a Goy that you don't have Shlichus. However, a Ben Noach sending another Ben Noach on a Shlichus has Shlichus. It works for the first Ben Noach when he sends the job to be done. And therefore, if I'm a Goy, if I'm keeping the whole Torah, my name is Noach, I'm sending another one of my generation who has no problem doing Malach on Shabbos in that generation. So I'd send him to do a Malacha for me on Shabbos. Now, if I'm a Goy, the Shlichus worked. I'm not a Malach on Shabbos, it's not an Avera. You mentioned Avera before. It's not an Avera, so therefore, it's as if I did that Malacha, I drove the car on Shabbos. If I'm a Yid, Ein Shlich Edva Avera, so I sent another Ben Noach on a mission, and he did the job. It has nothing to do with me. In no way does it connect or affect my standing. So therefore, the Mamshik says, Shlichus would be our way out for the Ben Noach. So that's how Noach keeps Torah, even keeping Shabbos. But we're back to our question of this seemingly very contradictory statements from Chazal about Noach. The Maharal writes on the Deiroisov, where we had the two opinions in Chazal of whether it's l'shvach or l'gnai, is it derogatory or not. Maharal writes, there's no machlokas whatsoever. Maharal says, Noach was a tzaddik. The Torah's made it. How could anyone possibly translate b'derosov to be non-positive? Not to be that he's a tzaddik. The Torah says, Tomlin tzaddik. Therefore, when it says l'gnai, it doesn't mean that he'd be worth nothing in the generation of Avraham Avinu. It means this. It means Noach in his doyer, in his generation, with the people that surrounded him, was the most fabulous person you could possibly be. He's the biggest tzaddik you could possibly be. Had he been in Avram's generation, he would have been much greater. With the community, with the support system of Avram's doyer, he would have been much greater than the Noach of his generation. That's Lekula Alma. The Machloka says the Maharal in Gur Aryeh is only how to translate the word b'doyroisov. Is it focusing on Noach's doyer? Telling you, in Noach's doyer, he was a complete tzaddik. B'doyroisov, he was a tzaddik. Or is it Lignai telling you, had he been at this level, the Noach doyer level, which is fine for Noach's doyer, with that type of community to reach that level, amazing. But had he only been at that level in Avram's doyer, he would have been nothing. So the machlekes is only how do you translate the word b'doyroisov? Are we focusing on Noach's doyer, or are we focusing on Avraham Avinu's doyer? Had he been at the level of Noach in his generation, even in Avraham's doyer? But certainly he was a tzaddik, tomim, he was a perfect person, and had he been Avraham Avinu's doyer, he would have been much greater with the support of Avraham and all the people who were working under Avraham, all the Tamidim of Avraham, in that support system, the yeshiva of Avraham Avinu, he would have been much greater. Certainly. Sorry? The Gnai only means, how do you translate the word b'derosov? It doesn't mean about Noach himself. I mean, how do you translate it? Is it l'gnai that this Noach at this level would be l'gnai in Avraham Avinu's doyer? But it's not a gnai on Noach. Noach was a tzaddik tamim. The Pasuk says, Esolikim is Halich Noach. Noach goes with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says Rashi, Noach needs a support system. He needs Sa'ad L'Tomchoi. He needs a support system. He doesn't manage on his own. Whereas Avraham Avinu doesn't need any support system. The Mizrahi writes, and it's also found in the Marashal, brought down by Sifsi Chachamim, Noach, and this will give us clarity on this character called Noach. Noach was different to Avraham Avinu. Noach wasn't as perfect. We can quote this. Noach wasn't as perfect as Avraham Avinu. He wasn't quite on the level. He was a tzaddik tomim. But within tzaddikim there's also levels, and he wasn't quite on the level of Avraham Avinu. Meaning to say, Noach knew himself. And Noach knows that I need a support system. I can't manage on my own. I can't go out and be makar of others in my generation for fear of being affected myself. And Noach stays in his Dalad Amos. The Mizrahi writes by Richus, he goes at length to explain that Noach didn't go out to do, to be mashpiach, to be mashiach his doyer. Noach stayed within his Dalad Amos, he stayed at home, worrying that if he were to go out, he wouldn't be mashpiach on them, it would be the other way around, he'd be affected by them. Noach tzarech sad letomcha, he needs support and he knows it. When the rain comes, his emunah, says Rashi, k'tani emunah, there's something on his level which is slightly chipped. Not that I understand it, it's Noach's level, but Rashi says, k'tani emunah, something's missing. And Noach knows this, and he's not willing to go out into the world. Says the Michtav Melior of Desla, in Parshas Noach, the end of Chelek Hei, he says, Noach, although he could have been saved by being in Eretz Yisrael and in many other ways, Noach is saved by the Teva. Do you know why? Because Noach's way of living in this world is in his little box, in his little home. He needs a Teva to save him. Hashem makes him build a Teva because the Hatzolah for Noach is building a square box, staying inside it, not affected by the outside world. That's Noach's Hatzlocha, that's his Shtaging, that's the way Noach can become Noach in such a generation. In a teva, closed in a box. Avram Avinu, says Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler. Avram Avinu, who goes out into the world unafraid. He stands on his own and convinces multitudes of people about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He can stand on his own. He doesn't need support. And he's the one who's promised Eretz Yisrael. He can expand. He doesn't stay in a box. He's the one who's promised Eretz Yisrael, not Noach. Because Avraham Avinu is a person of the world. Avraham Avinu is strong enough to go out into the world and convince others of the Yedias Hashem without worry, without fear. So Noach's Mahalach was in Mahalach in Avodas Hashem. He knows himself, he knows his strengths, and he knows his weaknesses. And therefore he stays in a teva. Whereas Avraham Avinu can be promised Eretz Yisrael because he goes out into the open. And this fits beautifully with later in the parasha. What does the Torah tell us? Hashem says, Noach, build a teva. For how long? 120 years. Says Rashi, there's so many ways he couldn't be saved. You're right. He did it because Hashem told him. But Rashi gives us a little bit of an understanding why Hashem told him to build this, to be constructing this huge edifice, this floating hotel, for 120 years. Says Rashi, you know why? So that the people of the generation should ask, what are you doing? And Noach would tell them, I'm building a teva. Now if you think about this, it seems to me that this is a haskama from the Ribbono Shel Olam for Noach's Mahalach. He doesn't tell him to go out into the world and be mechiach. He doesn't tell him to go and be mashpia, bring everyone close to Hashem. Stay in your garden, Noach. Build yourself a hut. Build yourself a teva. And as you're banging the nails in, and as you're smearing on the tar, people will come to you. What's this banging going on down the street? So you'll say, and you'll continue banging your nail in. We'll ask you to give droshes at the theatre. We'll ask you to stop people from going to who knows where. You'll be knocking your nail in. You'll be turning over your shoulder and saying, I'm doing it because the mabel's coming, because of the way the generation is. You stay in your garden, you build your teva, and the people will come to you. Nach, stay with your mahalach. This is haskama from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
But no one joins in the tables.
Sorry?
He was successful in getting people to cover people that way.
That they had to come to him. Noach was able to stay in his garden and his teva. Sorry?
No, his family went to the teva, no one else.
Inside the teva. Had the people done shiva?
But they didn't.
History would have changed. But they didn't. Yeah. Right? But he had his job of trying. It's our job to try, right? It's not our job to conclude. So we have the Golem and the Ben Noach who now comes out to be in a higher level than the Golem. And the Ben Noach who keeps the Torah and is able to stay within his Dalad Amos and his Mahalach as opposed to Avraham Avinu who has the strength, the capability to go out into the world, the two Mahalachim and Avodas Hashem.